Hello and welcome to... What are we calling this again?
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
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 A Raisin or The Raisin?
The Raisin.
The Raisin.
The Raisin.
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
End. A safer way to get close to nature.
Yeah.
Is on horseback.
Oh, and they're so sweet, the little Icelandic horses.
They're so whittle.
They're whittle, and they have a sweet temperament. Like, you don't see Icelandic horses, like, rearing up and, you know, kicking people. They're very calm. Adorbs. I love
them.
So
furry.
They're very furry, and they usually have very long manes.
So soft.
Flowing manes and flowing little tails. And, you know, they just, like, enjoy life on Iceland, on their little island, just hanging out, eating hay.
If you're over 6 feet... Mm-hmm. There's a chance that your ankles will drag on, your heels will drag on the floor, on the ground.
A little bit. My husband is 6'1"-ish around there, and we went horseback riding, and I have a picture of him. I don't know if I'll be able to find it. I kind of want to find it so I can post it, like, somewhere so you can see. But his feet are, you know, a few centimeters off the ground as he's on the horse.
Oh, wow.
Because they are just... tiny, they're hardy, they can handle it, they can take it, those little Icelandic horses, because, you know, they were carrying Vikings and all their gear on.
Yeah, they're stocky.
They're you know,
stocky, tough little guys,
tough little horses. Yeah. But the image, I can see why Vikings went on ships to raid, you know, various places, because if you show up on a horse with your feet dragging in the mud talking about, it's not very intimidating.
No, they're gonna laugh you out.
You're like,
raid.
Oh yeah, you're gonna take our stuff on your tiny horse. Don't think so. It's not as intimidating.
So they have this fifth natural gait.
Yes.
Can you talk about it a little bit?
I just think of it as like a little marchy gait, because their
knees go so high.
Yeah, it's like they. Yeah, it's like they're marching. They're like little majorettes. Like, they pick their little legs up and their knees, like, go all the way up. And their hair blows in the wind.
They drop their center of gravity way down. Yeah. So they're crouching on the ground.
It's a little bit like German shepherds. Like, how German shepherds have, like, kind of lower back legs. And when they walk, it's... Do you know what I'm talking about? No.
A German shepherd is a kind of dog.
It is a dog. But I'm saying, like, the look of the body.
No, I'm saying I don't know anything about dogs.
Okay, never mind then.
I mean, maybe the people that we're speaking to do.
But because, you know, like, it's like they're marching, but then their back legs are, like, just going very smoothly. Like, right. It's a very smooth movement. So when you ride them, it feels, when they do that fifth gait, it's a very smooth ride, even though they're kind of marchy.
Right. Yeah. And it's called a tilt.
Yeah.
And it's not... I don't know if there's other animal or other breeds of horses who have this gait.
I don't think so. I think only Icelandic horse does.
But it's super useful if you're going over really uneven terrain, like, let's say,
like,
I don't know.
All of Iceland.
Or like a lava field.
And
it, like, makes your ride a lot smoother. But I don't think they can't do it for like a long time, I don't think. I think it, like, really wears them out. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't either.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
But they look very cute doing it.
They look great doing it. And I have been on a horse when it's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels kind of cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're posting a trot or like galloping or not walking. It feels like something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as bouncy as a trot.
Yeah. But it's on horseback is a great way to see the country.
It is. There are people who do like horseback riding tours that are like for a week, like just on horseback going around Iceland. I don't know if I would do that.
But for a week? I don't think I do it for a week. Another thing that people like to do is if they come in the fall, they go on the big sheep roundups, and they ride way up into the highlands to round up sheep. I mean, I feel like maybe you have to have some, like, maybe some more advanced skills than you and I have.
So.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're an excellent horseman.
No. I mean, I a little bit.
As Texans, we are embarrassing ourselves a little bit.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm a Texan, born and raised, did not get on a horse until I went to the great state of Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
horseback,
I didn't even
capital
learn,
of America.
I did not learn on a Western saddle. I learned on an English saddle.
Well, Dallas-Fort Worth, I mean, we're city folk.
You know.
We're city mice. We're city mice.
So, you know, I don't know if I'd be good on a sheep roundup. I would just be like, oh, there's one
there's
over
a sheep,
there.
There's a sheep
go
over there, guys.
Go get it. That's what I could do. I saw one there.
Those roundups are amazing, though. And I know we're not talking about families anymore, mm-hmm. but not necessarily like going up into the mountains. But at the end of each roundup, mm-hmm. they like round all the sheep up into these like ancient looking pens. Mm-hmm. Have we talked about this before?
I think it was in the recording that did not that get recorded.
Okay, well, let's talk about it again then. But
you had a great way of describing it. It's like...
No, you had a great way of describing it.
I think
it.
We both did.
Because you said it's a wagon wheel.
I said it's a wagon wheel. You said it's a Trivial Pursuit, like, pie piece thing. And it's both. It's both. Like, it has the hole in the middle, like a wagon wheel, like where the... What do you call that? The axle? Oh, God, we are so uncomfortable.
The hub.
The hub. So there's, like, the hub. And then, like, little pie pieces, like, in the Trivial Pursuit around that hub.
Like, little compartments. And they, like, yeah. pump all the rounded-up sheep into the middle. Mm-hmm. And there's people who stand in the middle, and they read the ears on the sheep.
And they don't read tattoos. They don't read little tags on the ears.
It's not like a barcode.
Nope. What do they read, my friend?
The farmers all cut a pattern into their sheep's ears.
That blows my mind. Because yeah. how many patterns could there be?
Well, how many farmers can there be, really?
Yeah.
I mean, each roundup is for, like, a different county or, like, a different region.
Oh, okay.
So, I think you probably only need, like, 10 or 15, or... I have no idea.
Are you talking out of your ass, Jonas, yeah, a little bit?
I am. But let's just be honest when it's happening, so that we're not, like... Yeah, exactly. ...confusing anyone with, like, hard, fast truths.
Yeah, you know?
But I do know that they publish a little book. Each region publishes a little book, and it lists everyone's ear cuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
but
cool.
So they read the ear cuts and then they dump that sheep and if it has
into its little pen.
Right, boop, 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 into boop. Its little pen. And it's a big party mm-hmm. when that happens and everyone gathers and watches the sorting and people drink and there's snacks and mm-hmm. kids play together and it's the fall.
Smell of animal.
The mm-hmm. smell of animal. Everyone's wearing their like ancestral like Lopa Pesas, their wool sweaters.
Icelandic wool sweaters with the traditional patterns around the collar.
Singing their folk songs and dancing the Vicky Vaki. No, I don't think they do that. But it is it's a fun time to be in Iceland.
A rollicking good time.
A rollicking good time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think horses are a fun way to go. I don't know, like I've done them before, but I don't remember what companies we used. I mean, I think all of them will come pick you up wherever you are.
Really?
I think so.
Because, I mean, we drove out there just because, you know.
I'm sure that, like, they would. I'm sure the horse farms will, like, come pick you up and take you out to their farms. Because the farms aren't in the city. They're, like, outside of the city. I think there's, like, one in Selfoss mm-hmm. in the south and then Mosfellsbær.
Yeah, I think there are a few in the south. But there has been a little bit of scandal, if we want to get into scandal with the horse farms.
You know I do. I want to get into some scandal.
Okay, so there are some horse farms that get foreign workers to come and work on the farms during the summer. And they tell the people, like, oh, you know, you can come work, volunteer at the farm, and we'll provide room and board. So these people don't get paid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty shitty.
And the people working there are like, oh, it's great. You know, we get to, like, work with the horses all summer, and we don't have to worry about food and where somewhere to stay. But they're totally being taken advantage of, and it's against the law.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be paid a wage. You're supposed to, just basic shit. Basic human rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some horse farms. Not all of them, of course. But, of course, the farms that that do pay workers fairly are, you know, at a disadvantage. They don't have
this free labor.
Yeah. They don't have the free labor, and they can't offer the steep discounts that these other places are using because they are using basically slave labor.
Yeah. Well, that's crappy.
Isn't it? So do your research, people.
Do your research.
Do your research.
And use a responsible horse farm.
Yeah.
I just say that all the horse farms I've been to, they're people who, like, at least the short time I've been there, mm-hmm. like, the impression I get is that they just truly love these animals.
Yeah.
And they are horsey people, some of them.
Oh, horsey people love horses.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't love people so much.
No, they don't. They don't. They could really care less about the humans, which, you know, who can blame them?
Who can blame
humans
them?
Humans can be such massive assholes.
They can take advantage of each other, as we just know.
Exactly.
As we just found out.
Exactly. Exactly. And horses, the cute little Icelandic horses, you know, they show nothing but love.
Yeah. So another great thing for outdoorsy people is, we've talked about swimming in swimming pools before.
Yeah.
But there are all of these places out in the countryside to go swimming in the middle of nature.
Yeah.
Some of them are man-made.
Some.
Still stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Others are completely naturally occurring.
Yeah.
Amazing. And a lot of them are fed by, like, geothermal springs. Mm-hmm. So they're warm places to go swimming. So there's a really popular one that is, I think it's a man-made pool.
It is a man-made pool, yeah.
Seljalandsloh.
Yeah, because it's, like, it's a concrete thing. Like, they dug a hole to get to the hot spring and, like, put a hose in it, basically, and filled up a concrete pool. Here you go.
Wait, a hose?
There is a, like, a pipe coming out of the...
But it's, like, tapped into, like, a spring, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's tapped into a spring. Some, you know, I don't know how far they had to dig or... Yeah. I don't know. What do you do to get to a hot spring? I don't even know how they knew it was there.
I don't know. I feel like I think it was, like, probably bubbling there or some place nearby.
There had to be clues.
Had to be clues. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, that's a really nice one. Although now it's become so visited.
It is. It's been in movies. It's been in films. So it's become popular that way. So you see a lot of people going and, like, posing, setting up their Instagram shots.
Right.
And, you know, you just want to relax, enjoy the pool. And
because that's why people are enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
There's another one that is around a town called Flulish. Mm-hmm. Both of these, by the way, are in the southeast section of the country.
Yeah.
And this one is next to a church called Hrunni. Mm-hmm. We can put that in the show notes. And they have a little changing hut. And I like this one because it is not as popular as Seljalandsloh. Mm-hmm. There's not as many people who go to visit it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's because people don't talk about it that much, which I'm undoing now.
Oh, Jesus, Jonas, you're...
Sorry about that, everybody. Sorry.
It's over. It's jumped the shark.
There are lots of them, though. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you get to talking to someone in Iceland, they're going to know about a secret pool someplace, especially if you're out on the road. But yeah, this one on Flue that is really nice. I remember being in it with some friends who were coming to visit. We all got changed into our swimsuits. Mm-hmm. It's like evening, the sun is setting, and all of a sudden the ground starts to shake, and I'm like, oh crap. We're having an earthquake. But it wasn't an earthquake.
Oh, okay.
It was just like a herd of sheep.
Oh, wow.
Who were coming and they jumped over the little pool that we were sitting in.
Wow.
Yeah.
If that is not an Icelandic experience, I don't know what it is.
Went to fucking Central.
You know, you're in a natural pool. Here comes some sheep popping along.
It's not a super deep pool. You sort of have to, like, lay down in it to, like, be completely submerged. Mm-hmm. And on a cold day, you want to be completely submerged. So everyone's just sort of like...
Bah. So, wait, is this one man-made or is it natural? I can't remember.
It is natural to some degree, but I think they might have, like, put some rocks up and around it and maybe dug a little bit deeper to make it a little bit more comfortable for people to use. But it is not a poured concrete pool.
Okay.
But the changing hunt around it is... Mm-hmm. Obviously built. It was not a naturally occurring hole in the wall. Mother Nature was not so considerate to form a changing hut next to it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a cool changing hut. If I remember, there's a turf roof on it.
Oh, really?
Maybe not.
Are you making it up?
In my memory, maybe that's what it is.
That would be so cute if it were. If it were like that, that would be adorable.
It's a pretty cute one. Like, once you get out there, it's pretty cute. Aww. It's a little hard to find. Mm-hmm. I haven't given you guys great directions.
You don't give
I know, directions. I know. You don't want me to give too explicit directions, but I just want to let people know it's not because I'm trying to keep you from it.
I'm kind of trying to keep people from it.
I honestly don't remember.
Until I get to go. And then everybody can go.
I don't remember exactly how to get to this one.
Okay.
But it's very near that church that I mentioned.
But, you know, Google knows everything. If people pop this into Papa Google, he'd be like, oh, yeah, here it is.
Here it is, right here. Yeah.
Giving away all the secrets, Google.
Sorry. But a really amazing place to visit in the Highlands is Landmannalaugar. And we'll put this in the show notes. But it's in the Fjallabak Nature Reserve. In the Highlands. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit difficult to get to. But like I said, there's all these rhyolite mountains that are up there, which are unusual for Iceland because they're a light stone. And they've got all these mineral deposits in that make them very colorful. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of geothermal springs up there, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
So lots of hot pots.
Lots of hot pots. Lots of places to, like, soak in nature. Mm-hmm. In nature and just take it all in. Mm. And the one that you were looking for?
So the first time... I went into the Highlands. I think, well, actually, it was the only time. Crossed Iceland, from the south up to the north. Went straight down the middle. Yep, straight down the middle between the huge glacier and the tiny glacier. Right smack dab in the middle of Iceland. And the name of this little valley is...
Nýidalur.
Nýidalur. and there's a hot spring there, like where you can stop. There's a little cabin where you can, you know, people park their Jeeps and they can stay overnight. You bring your little snacks. There's showers, changing rooms, toilets.
Totally free, right?
Totally free. But as far as I remember.
I'm just like looking at the map right here.
Right.
It's literally in the center of the country.
It's the center of the country.
You really got to want to get there.
Yeah.
There's nothing that there's like not, it's not on the way to anywhere.
Sonori's dad is, I told you, he's all about the off-roading, getting out in nature. So this was like, he was like, we're going to do it. And so I went out with him and my husband, and it was my first real wild Iceland experience.
That's awesome.
But there's basically just this little hot tub in the ground. Like there's like moss and some rocks. Somebody just like widened it a little bit when they saw some bubbles coming up. And at first I was like, I'm not getting in that. It's cold. And they're like, come on in, get in your bathing suit. I was like, okay. It was maybe my second or third time in Iceland. I was like, these people are crazy. But it's beautiful.
Yeah, I have to say that being out in the wilderness in hot water, mm-hmm. it's pretty magical.
And it's really just this little patch of green. Because in the highlands, there's like nothing. It's like Mars.
Yeah.
Just like rocks.
Like true wasteland.
Yeah, true wasteland. And so there's just like this little oasis in the middle of nowhere.
And I guess that's how you know like where the water is, right?
Yeah.
So one of the places that I really wanted to mention about when you go swimming, and that's this place in the Westfjords, mm-hmm. and it's called Reykjanes,
yeah,
which is the name of the peninsula in the mm-hmm. Westfjords. There's another peninsula in the south, the one that the international airport is on.
Yeah,
that's also called Reykjanes.
You know,
so not to get these two confused. On. Yeah, it's come up with a different name for all the different little pokey oddy parts of every little island.
It's like this little smoky area and then that little smoky area over there.
So if you're driving to Ísafjörður, which is sort of the central town in the Westfjords, mm-hmm. then you will go past Reykjanes. And there is an old, it's like a boarding school that was up mm-hmm. there. And I don't know what it is now. For a while, I don't think there was much happening there.
Yeah. Did they like turn it into a hotel or something?
I think they might have turned it into a hotel now. Mm-hmm. But they have a little concrete pool that they've made that fills with geothermal water at certain parts of the day, I think.
Oh, really?
And when the tide comes in, I think it fills with cold water.
So it's connected to the ocean then somehow?
It's pretty much like on the shore.
Okay. And so like the water like filters through like the volcanic rock. Is that how it gets in there?
Yes. We went there for, at some point someone rented out for a family reunion.
Okay.
And I remember going inside and saying, this place is terrifying, first of all. Like the building itself looks like The Shining.
Yeah, this was for Gisli's family.
Gisli's family. Okay. Because if I had a family reunion here, it would be me, myself, and I getting together.
Come on, family.
So we went to Gisli's family reunion, which is huge.
Yeah.
A massive, massive family.
Yeah.
The inside of the building, not a place you want to hang out in, probably.
Is this the overlook?
But the pool outside. And when we were there, the feeling I got was that people aren't typically using this facility.
Okay.
And so, like, if no one's there, I think mm-hmm. it's sort of, it's, you know, it's
anyone's. Left to its own devices.
Right, exactly. It's sort of a free game. Like, you know, if you want to come in, then you're welcome to do it. Because it fills up naturally, I think. I mean, no one turns, like, a valve on and it fills the pool up or anything mm-hmm. like that. But it's really neat to be on the north shore of the country and do that, mm-hmm. especially in the West Reeds, because you look over and like next stop, Greenland. Do you know what I mean? It's like a pretty amazing mm-hmm. vista, as it were, even though you can't actually see Greenland from there, obviously.
But, you know.
You might see like a polar bear on an ice floe floating towards you because, you know, global warming.
Yeah, they do show up in Iceland on occasion. Poor little polar bears blown off course.
Yeah, they are super hungry when they get here.
Yeah.
They're going to eat anything in this way. Yeah. If you see one, do not approach.
Do not approach because it's probably starving and willing to kill you.
Yeah. Doesn't happen that often, though.
No. Anyway. Once in a blue moon.
But that is a really nice place to stop. Mm-hmm. But I can ask. If you can make it all the way up to the Westfjords, which I recommend everyone does, then that's you should treat yourself to that.
Make it up to the 80s banks.
Yeah. Another fun outdoorsy thing to do is to climb Mount Esja, mm-hmm. which is the mountain you see pretty much wherever you are in Reykjavik. Like, you're looking out a window right now.
There it is.
And it's filling like half the window. It's absolutely huge. And it's majestic. I had to use a word for it, I would say
the Icelanders do love it.
Yeah.
The Reykjavik, what do you call Reykjavik people?
In English, I don't know, like Reykjavikers?
Reykjavikians? Reykjavikers.
An Icelandic. I don't know why I said it that way.
Give us the Icelandic.
In Icelandic, it's Reykvikingar, which means the smoking Vikings.
Ooh. Smoking hot.
Smoking hot. Mm-mm. They've got a great hiking trail that goes up.
Yeah.
Zigzags quite a lot, back and forth. Mm-hmm. Through all sorts of different landscapes. Mm-hmm. It's a green and forested in one area. When I say forested, I mean...
You mean some shrubs.
There's some growth.
Yeah. You can do it with older kids. I've heard it's all right for older kids.
Yeah, it is. It's great for older kids because the steeper it gets, the closer the switchbacks get. So you don't really feel like you're going up.
Right.
I mean, you feel like your progress slows, but you're not necessarily slowing down your pace.
Okay.
The last little bit is a little difficult. You have to do some light climbing at the very top. But once you get to the top, there's a book, and you get to sign it, and then your name will be in there forever and ever.
Yeah. I've only hiked mountains. Well, no, I've hiked mountains elsewhere, but I've never seen a book at the top of a mountain until I came to Iceland.
What a good idea.
I was like, there's a book. We hiked, what's the name of the mountain?
Helgafell. Yeah.
And it was so windy when we got up there. There was like a little, there's a book, and I think there was also like a little sundial compass type thing up there too. It was so windy, I didn't look all that closely, but there were some women there who had been hiking with us, and they were like, oh, they were like so pumped, and they were like, ran over, like, we're signing our names in this book, goddammit, we hiked this mountain. I was like, I love that
that's a thing you can do when you get to the top of a mountain.
Well, you know, it beats people like scrawling, so-and-so was here. And being tacky. If you just have a little book, you feel like you've signed your name and you've made your mark. You did it. You hiked the mountain.
You're part of the club.
Yeah, good for you.
Now, Helgafell, there's a superstition about this mountain and climbing it, right?
Not the one we climbed. There are two Helgafells.
Okay.
The one we climbed, no superstition. The other one of the same name, if you walk up without looking back or saying a word, you will have 3 wishes fulfilled. That's it. So you walk up the mountain, don't look back.
And you can't say anything, right?
And you can't say anything, complete silence, and you'll have 3 rashes. 3 wishes.
You'll have 3 rashes.
3 rashes.
One on your foot, one on your leg, and one in your crotch. You'll have 3 rashes.
3 rashes and wishes and will wishes. Be fulfilled. Yeah, it's supposed to be, it's holy. Helgafell means holy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know why it's considered a holy mountain, but it's considered a holy mountain.
Huh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, if you want 3 wishes granted, walk up, don't look back.
So, one of my favorite things in the nature here is the Glacier Lagoon. And we started talking about it a little bit.
Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit.
But it is one of those things where when friends come, I send them some pictures of stuff that we might be able to go do. And inevitably, everyone wants to go see this.
Yeah, I always say you should definitely do it. Like, if you're going to drive the South Coast, you should definitely make it your way all the way out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're going to go up the South Coast, then at least make it as far as the South Coast.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's almost as far as you can go on the North Coast before it turns up and becomes the East Coast.
Yeah, yeah. On the South Coast, you mean you said North.
Oh, I'm on the South Coast.
Can you say it again one more time for the people? Glacier Lagoon in Icelandic.
Oh, yeah. So the name of this place is
Now the pressure. Say it.
Jökulsárlón. Jökulsárlón. Jökulsárlón.
Mm-hmm. So it's
which means Glacial River Lagoon.
Yeah, there you go. And so it's basically where this glacier is breaking up and meets the ocean, basically. Yeah.
And it creates this crazy lagoon when it's doing it. And of course, the faster the glacier melts, the larger the lagoon gets.
Yeah.
And I think it might be like now the largest naturally occurring lake in Iceland.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is super depressing, but
beautiful.
Let's enjoy our own melt. Let's just enjoy it. Let's find some good in this.
There are these huge, some of the pieces of the glacier that fall off are massive, and they're like these giant ice ships in the water.
Yeah.
And they tumble and turn, and it's pretty magnificent.
It is magnificent because the ice that they're made out of is like millennia old.
Yeah.
It's I have ancient. No idea if that's true.
It's ancient.
I know it's very, very old.
It's very old.
Maybe millennia. I don't know.
Thousands, definitely.
It's super old. And I think it's really compacted.
Yeah, so it's blue.
Which is why it's blue. Yeah. Again, not a scientist. I don't know if that's why it's blue for real.
I think that's why it is. I think that's right.
But I do know that if you stand there and look at it long enough, and you don't have to do it that long, actually, but some of the icebergs will flip.
Yeah.
And it is a sight to see when that happens.
Yeah, and you hear it. It's like this rush. It's like...
And there's a big... Yeah, there's like big cracking sounds. Waves.
Yeah.
And the ice that comes up from the bottom when it flips is blue, like electric blue. Like unnaturally looking blue.
Yeah.
Really cool looking.
Yeah.
You might see a seal. It's the one place in Iceland where you're like, get the seal, get out of my picture.
Yeah, they just... You see the little head peek up, but you're like, God, dog it, seal.
Yeah.
But also what is cool is like those chunks, they come off of the glacier into the lagoon and then they flow out into the ocean. And then the waves push the big hunks of ice back onto the black sand. And so there are these massive hunks of ice on the beach and you can walk up to them. You can touch them. You can take pictures. They're gorgeous formations as they're melting in the sun if it's in the summer.
There's something so tragic about it too, because it's like they're going.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, this ice that has been on this earth for like millions of years.
Yeah.
Proviso, I have no idea if that's actually true.
Yeah, maybe thousands.
Maybe thousands.
Maybe tens of thousands. Maybe I don't know.
Tens of millions?
I don't know. No.
Hundreds of millions? Billions of years?
Iceland is pretty young.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So I don't know, but they're very, very old. And they are like, they're just like melting in front of your eyes.
Yeah, there it is.
In a gorgeous way.
It's a, yeah. It's like, oh, look at humans fucking up shit again. But isn't it pretty?
Let's put this on Instagram.
Yeah, put it on Instagram. Here's our demise.
Yeah. So, that is probably like one of my favorite places to take people.
It's breathtaking, I have to say.
And it's been featured in like a lot of films as well. Mm-hmm. Like there's been some James Bond movies or Batman movies that were filmed there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember going out there at one point and they were filming something and it was really annoying because I wanted to like enjoy it.
You wanted
like
to have a moment.
Splendor.
Yeah.
And there was like a film crew there.
Yeah. And there was some PA being like, you can't come over here.
They didn't say that, but they were just basically like,
yeah,
we're not going to move. Like, we're using this today.
So they weren't like when they're filming in New York. Oh, God. The film crews can be so rude.
But in New York?
Yes, but that's another story.
Okay. That's our third podcast?
That's our third podcast.
Another kind of people who come here are people who I think enjoy art, music.
Yeah.
A little bit of the quirky culture that's here.
Yeah.
Or I think that's not necessarily why people come here, but I think people enjoy it nonetheless.
And it's one thing Iceland is known for. Iceland is known for its quirky artists. It's artists that just kind of do whatever.
And we do have one ambassador in particular.
Yeah.
Ambassadress.
Are you talking about Björk?
I am talking about Björk.
Yeah.
I feel like for a lot of people, she represents Iceland so overwhelmingly that they know literally nothing else about the country.
Yeah. Maybe they might, if they think they're being super cool, they're like, oh, no, I know Sigur Rós too.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, that's cute.
And that's it.
Yeah. But there's a freedom, I feel like, afforded to artists in Iceland that you don't find elsewhere. And so people can, they just, you throw, you know, the spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks. See what works. And
I don't know if we talked about this in the first episode, but the thing I've noticed here is that like it's a very short distance from the bottom to the top.
Exactly. Yeah,
which means that like you can pretty much decide you want to be a painter or you want to be a singer or you want to be an author and like
you can make it happen.
If you do a song or you write a book or you paint a painting, like you're a painter. Congratulations, you have arrived.
Right.
It's a little bit self-congratulatory about some things. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work that gets made is not like super great quality.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like encouraging people to like do these things.
But then means you can also get
really cool stuff that happens.
Because you can also get better. Like if someone isn't like immediately stomping on your spirit and crushing all your hopes and dreams,
yeah,
it allows you the freedom to get better.
True.
Because it'd be like, okay, you painted something. Look at that.
That's like the implication of not having like a really strong editorial voice in the culture.
And then eventually you will produce something that is amazing and people are going to be like, oh my God.
And there are critics here. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like they're super mean.
Yeah.
I feel like they sort of like work with like what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Like play the ball where it lies.
Yeah.
And they're not super negative about everything.
Yeah. So artists like, can do their thing.
Yeah.
So there's lots of stuff to see.
Some of the things that I really enjoy are the Reykjavik City Museums.
Mm-hmm.
There's several of them that are set up around the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the City Museum that has
different campuses.
Yeah, throughout the city. Yeah.
We live really close to one. It's a sculpture museum,
mm-hmm.
and it's up on the hill next to Hallgrímskirkja.
Yeah.
Just across the street from it, in fact. Mm-hmm.
I've never been inside the museum. I've just been into the garden.
Yeah.
Because the sculpture garden is behind the museum, and it's just a little garden you can walk into. And explore.
Yeah. I think I've been inside the museum once, but I go into that little sculpture garden frequently because it's close to our house. Yeah. It's also just like a really nice place that people don't realize you can just walk into.
Yeah. It has cool sculptures in it. It's very Icelandic, very Nordic. Yeah, it's like really a lot Nordic of the looking. Themes are very around Norse mythology and around just like the history and culture of Iceland.
It's not like a complicated art. It's like very symbolic.
No. Yeah. And they and it has little plaques. It gives you a little explanation. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it
tells exactly what you're looking at.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
So if you want a quick little art history and culture little lesson, boom.
Biggity boom. There it is.
Yeah.
Right there. There's another one that's out in the towards Lögadalur a little bit more, towards the recreational area.
Yeah.
Where the big pool is.
Yeah.
It's called Ásmundarsafn. And his sculptures are like a little more stylized.
I don't think I've been out there.
They're kind of cool.
Cool.
They're the kind of sculptures that make you want to like reach out and touch them. They've got something about like their curves are very like tactile and you want to touch them. That's maybe a better description than they're round.
They make some round sculptures and they're cool.
The whole museum is pretty cool too because it is also round. It's like in a concrete dome, which is kind of cool.
Oh.
Have you ever been to that one?
I don't think I have. It doesn't even sound familiar.
So that's one of the campuses is Ásmundarsafn. Einar Jónsson, the sculpture garden, he's not part of the city museum. He's not part of the
city museum, no.
But the other two places in the city museum are the Harbor House,
Hafnarhúsið,
which is right downtown next to the Customs House.
Yeah, I've been there. I like that one.
Yeah, they have like a really great rotating exhibit and they have a really great permanent collection with lots of like Icelandic artists and also maybe international artists too.
Yeah, no, I've seen... Oh, wait. No, I haven't. I was going to say I've seen a lot of international artists there, but no, I haven't.
I mean, I think maybe the rotating shows are international.
Yeah.
And their permanent collection is not. Go look it up, guys.
That's something for everybody.
Yeah. And then the last one is Kjalvastadir, which is in a large park. Nope, not large. Sorry, not large.
A park.
It's in a park.
Yes.
It's
a cute little park.
Yeah, it's just east of like the central downtown area.
Yeah.
Totally walkable from downtown and probably wherever you're staying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's called Kjalvastadir, and it's dedicated to Jóhannes Kjarval, who is a beloved painter here.
I have been to that museum, it's
lovely. I feel like people are sort of divided about him. And I'm not talking about Icelanders. I mean like visiting people. Some people look at him and they're like, oof, that is... like bad art from art school. And other people are like, oh, I totally get this. I like this suit. This like really appeals to me.
Yeah.
Like some of it, he has like lots of like religious themes in his work. Also lots of like supernatural themes in his work. And obviously like Icelandic landscape plays really heavily into it.
Right. I've been in the museum and I can't say I really remember it all that well.
Right.
It didn't leave a super strong impression. I think I'm more of the former than the latter. Just kind of like, eh.
Okay, didn't connect with it.
I did not connect with it, I don't think.
I mean, if you're interested in art and you're interested in like the sort of life of Icelandic artists and art culture here.
Yeah.
Then it's definitely worthwhile going because it's really, I think he's one of the more important Icelandic painters.
Well, if you
and they do
say,
a really good job at like giving an overview of his life and his work.
Yeah, well, it's dedicated to him.
They also have a rotating exhibitions there, so it's not just his work that's there.
Right.
There's some other fun museums that are around here though too.
Yeah, I haven't been inside actually the Punk Museum, which is in, fun fact, in an old public bathroom.
Right.
But I think it's perfect for a punk museum.
Totally. I think the thing I like about the punk museum is that they don't charge that much to go in. It's like a very small museum.
Yeah.
And I think it's sort of fun. I have peeked inside it.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually gotten into it.
And they're like installations like in the stalls.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
The other side of it, because this is like a gendered bathroom, so that's like the men's room and the other side is the women's room, or I don't, maybe it's vice versa, but the other side is an arcade, like an old school arcade, with like
Pac-Man,
with Pac-Man and like, what do you call it,
Space Invaders,
with the bars and the balls, pinball, and you can, I think you pay a fee and you can play for like all the games you want for like X amount of time.
Oh wow.
So that's actually a pretty fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially if maybe the weather's not that great or you're just trying to kill some time.
Which happens on occasion in Iceland when the weather's not so great.
Sometimes the weather's not great. Yeah. Another amazing museum.
Yes, give it to me.
Is the National, I think it's just called the National Museum of Iceland. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's a history museum.
Yeah.
And they have put it together so well. They talk about the early history of Iceland. Mm-hmm. They talk about, like, how people got here, who was here before they got here.
See, I've been trying to get to that museum since we first moved here with the kids. I was like, kids, come on. These are your people. Let's go to the National Museum of Iceland. And they were always like, eh.
Once they get there, they're going to like it, I think. Okay. They have a great audio guide. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe your kid's a little bit old for it, but I think they also have, like, a children's, not necessarily a guide, but, like, a... Well, it is a guide. I think you put it on, but it draws the kids' attention to like special exhibits within the museum that might appeal to them a little bit more than some of the other ones.
Yeah,
but it's not just like informational. They have lots of like artifacts there, mm-hmm. and then on the top floor, they have a like a rotating collection of things that a curator chooses to add to the national collection.
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
And I think they have the whoever they get to be the curator mm-hmm. comes from like a different part of Icelandic society.
Right.
And like serves like a term. Mm-hmm. I believe that's how it works.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I've heard so the same thing. So you're not totally making this up. Yeah.
So it might be someone, it might be like a musicologist and they are interested in like archiving like the music of this period that we're living in right now. And like choosing different items to sort of to curate, to make this,
so make you get a real sense of Iceland from different points of view. So it's not just one person's like, this is Iceland. It's like different Icelanders from different parts of society, different backgrounds saying, this is Iceland to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole museum is sort of like very much into like vivisection, like just taking like a very small piece of culture and really submersing yourself in it.
Right.
Really getting you into it, which is cool.
Nice use of that word. That was good.
What's that?
Vivisection.
You like that?
That was nice.
Sometimes I can impress a little bit.
That was good. I liked it.
Yeah, but that museum is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how much it costs to get into, but whatever it is, it's worth it because it wasn't that high.
Yeah, I don't think it's... They want people in the museums here. They want people exposed to art and culture in Iceland. Right. I feel like that's something that's important.
Right. Also, great cafe there. Also, amazing gift shop. Like, we do some of our Christmas shopping at their gift shop. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the MoMA. Like when you go shopping, but the MoMA is super expensive.
Wow.
That's what it's doing. I guess museum shops in general.
It's expensive. Iceland, so it's going to be expensive. But yeah, they have like a really well selected group of products to there. A lot of it is Icelandic design stuff, or like things that connect to Icelandic culture in some way. Postcards are awesome too. Like you can get like really? A tourist. You know, I'm seriously.
So what makes them awesome? Because there are postcards everywhere.
The postcards, a lot of them they pull from like the National Art Photography Archive.
Okay.
And
so it's not what you're going to see in the little puppin' stores. Like exactly. In the post office, every little.
It's not like the volcanoes and the horses and the puppins.
Okay. Okay.
Like it's like some poor woman filleting a fish.
Okay.
Someplace because.
Because this is what you got to do to survive in Iceland.
Yeah.
This is what you got to do, girl.
Right.
All right.
She's not smiling about it. Mm-hmm. But it like gives you the feeling. It's like, this is what life in Iceland was like maybe before.
Right.
When we like enter the modern age. Anyway, it's a pretty cool gift shop. Mm-hmm. The whole museum is really well done. And then there are other museums here. There's like the Settlement Museum, which we've been down to. That was kind of a cool way that museum happened because they were building the foundation for a hotel.
Oh, and they stumbled upon something.
Yeah, and they
isn't
like,
that how all the best stuff happens?
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that someone was honest about it and was like,
they didn't try and pull an African burial ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like what bones? No, we didn't find any bones.
Let's just throw up this Hilton and be done with it.
No, you did.
So they continued to build the hotel. No, they didn't continue to build it, but they like the hotel is still built on the site. Mm-hmm. But in the basement of the hotel is this really cool interactive exhibit.
Okay.
And it talks about, I think it's like it was a longhouse that they found, but it's like right in the center of Reykjavik.
I've passed by there and I'm always like, oh, I need to go in there.
I think it's called like 874 plus or minus 2.
Yeah.
Which means like the year basically Iceland was settled. Mm-hmm. 874 AD plus or minus 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's I might be wrong about the name of that. We'll put that in the show notes. So you can get it right.
It's like settled, not like the Irish monks that would randomly come out to Iceland to, you know.
Who are actually the first people who lived here.
Yeah, who were just, you know, on a hope and a prayer, very literally.
Yeah.
And wound up in Iceland.
Yeah, and then we're shit out of luck when, like, the people from Norway were like, okay, guys, we're here now.
Yeah.
Adios. So that's what, yeah, that's a pretty cool interactive museum too. That's a good one for kids.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to interact with there. And I can't remember some, I don't know. There are some other museums here. There's like the National Art Museum too.
They're all over.
Which is more like historical art. But the ones I think that we've touched on are the ones that I want you to go to.
Yeah.
Like that I plan on taking my friends to.
Yeah. And the ones I clearly need to get to, I've been saying, oh, I should go. Oh, I should go.
Yeah.
This summer, goddammit. Gotta make it happen.
So another thing that happens here a lot, because the weather can be pretty crappy, is I think cinema culture here is pretty popular. And there's two art house theaters now. Not art house theaters necessarily, but there's two theaters that like show are. Like a little bit unusual films.
Yeah, they do both. Yeah. They do both. Because Bio Paradis is near us, and we go there often, actually, to the movies.
Yeah.
What I love that they did is they show it on the big screen, one of my favorite films, and you're not going to be able to guess what one of my favorite films is.
Serpico? I don't know. What?
Serpico. I am not that highbrow. It is, get ready. I don't know. I may fall in your esteem.
What is it, like Harry and the Hendersons
or something? But I don't care if I fall in
your
esteem, because it's one of my favorites. It's like a perfect Hollywood studio movie.
Too much buildup. What is it?
Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future's a good one.
Yeah. And they showed it. And they had old, like, Icelandic, like, 80s ads, like, before it.
Awesome.
And this is something they do in Icelandic movie theaters. They have intermission. But the thing about Bio Paradis is that they don't have intermission.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah, I think that was one of their selling points is, we don't have intermission. Or, am I making that shit up? God damn it.
I think maybe for some of the screenings they do have intermission.
Yeah, but they had an intermission for this Back to the Future. And in the intermission, there were like vintage ads. I was like, this is so cute.
I love and I hate the intermission.
I kind of just hate the intermission. Sometimes when I'm like, actually, I do need to pee. And then I feel mad because I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to use the intermission. Because I want to hate the intermission. But then I'm like, oh, but I do get to go pee. So
it often comes at the most inconvenient time in the film.
Yeah, because it's usually right at the crucial moment in the middle of the film where it's built up to every,
And lights
and then
come
it
up.
Just cuts. There's no, it's just like somebody cut the film right in the middle.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's it.
Lights come up and everybody just goes to the bathroom.
I like it, though, because, like, if I don't have to go to the bathroom, like, you can check in with the people you're at the movie with and, like, what do you think so far? What's going to happen?
True.
Oh, my gosh, this is so exciting. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Or, like, on the other hand, like, oh, this is awful. I can't believe it. We're seeing this.
Maybe we should just leave now.
Yeah. Which we never do.
Yeah.
So those are two really fun theaters to check out while you're here. Tjarnarbio is down by the big pond in the middle of Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
And they have theater productions there as well.
Mm. Yeah. Theater and film.
And film.
Mm.
But they'll do like screenings of like Hitchcock films sometimes just really all sorts. I think they did like Silence of the Lambs over Halloween. So it's sort of a fun thing to do.
I'd love to see The Exorcist again. I did see it in the theater when they did a re-release of it. So much fun.
It's an experience.
It is. Yeah. And the people, what I loved, people were talking to the movie. I love if it's an old movie that everybody has seen and you're talking to the screen, it can be such a good time.
I don't want to like plug the Westfords too much, but when we spent Christmas in Easy Fitter there not too long ago, and they have a teeny tiny cinema there.
Mm-hmm. One screen.
Oh, yeah. Just one screen.
Yeah.
And teeny, tiny concession stand where you used to work as a teenager.
get your popcorn and a soda. That's it.
But, like, not that many people fit into the theater. Mm-hmm. And went to go see one of the new Star Wars movies when it came out.
There? Uh-huh. In the tiny theater?
Oh, it was great to see it there. Because there was something about the people in the theater, I guess because they all knew each other or something like that, where they were talking about the film.
So it was like you were just, like, over somebody's house watching a movie.
Yeah, but it was exciting, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun to watch a movie and really feel like you were with other people.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
People were gasping and people were clapping. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah. And you don't always get that in the
regular, in the bigger theaters.
No, definitely not. And sometimes you kind of want it because you want to feel like people are in it with you.
Like otherwise I'd be sitting at home watching Netflix or something.
Yeah.
So that's a great one too.
Yeah.
It's a teeny tiny rural theater and there's not a whole lot of those, I don't think.
No. Now they're going to be overrun.
Yes.
Like, we need to go to the movie theater in Easter theater. Jonas had to go.
So we are a little bit older.
We are.
I mean, we're not elderly.
Not elderly, but we aren't.
We are not 20-somethings, though.
Not 20-somethings at all.
But I think we've both been out and about in downtown Reykjavik.
Yeah.
I was here. I lived here in my 20s, and we went out a lot.
See, you know a lot more than I do, because I was already with the husband, and we didn't.
The husband, I believe, did a lot of going out.
In his heyday, he was out and about. He was DJing. He was bartending. He was doing it up.
It's awesome.
Oh yeah,
but it's a fun nightlife here.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, it can be kind of a drag, but I feel like I sometimes gotten really good at going out now.
You think it's... What was different before?
Well, sometimes people would just bother you. And especially, I think, if you're a woman. Obviously, I don't have this as a personal experience. But what I've been told is, like, if you're a woman, like, people might bother you. Oh. And, like, if you were, like, leave me alone, then sometimes people would listen to you or respect that.
There is a heavy drinking culture. That might have something to do with it. Absolutely. If someone is inebriated, they aren't always going to get the hint. Like, hey,
but a lot of the bars in town, and the one I'm thinking of in particular is Coffee Button, which has been sort of like an epicenter of cool here.
Yeah.
And has endured.
It's still where the cool kids hang out.
Right.
From when my husband was a youngin' back in the 90s to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the rule that they have in place there, and they have little signs up everywhere, is like, you have the right to like party unmolested, basically. Mm-hmm. And if someone gives you bullshit, you let us know.
All right.
And we'll take care of business.
All right.
We had some friends who were visiting. We had a friend who was visiting, and she had someone. It was actually a foreigner who was trying to bother a Coffee Button.
Oh.
And she didn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, someone in the staff just came and just, like, was like, hey, you gotta leave now.
Just notice.
Yeah.
Just like,
What a great way to go out.
That is a great policy to have. To just, like, see, it's a little see something, say something.
Exactly.
Which would fix so
many problems.
So many problems in the world.
Yes.
It's like, if you see somebody being an asshole, don't just stand there and be like, oh, he's being an asshole. Go up and be like, dude, you gotta cut that out.
You gotta get out. Yeah.
Bye. That's not okay.
Yeah. Just let people know it's not okay.
Yeah.
It makes going out here pretty great, too. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It just means that, like, I feel like as a culture, they're getting, like, a little more aware of the fact that it's not cool when that happens. And we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that, for the most part, people drink until late.
They do.
At their homes. Because it's way cheaper to do that.
Yeah. Alcohol in Iceland, super expensive.
So expensive, guys. So expensive. If you're flying in, if you're on the plane right now listening to this, when you land...
Duty free, my friends.
You buy as much alcohol as you can.
Go in that duty free.
There are limits.
Have a party.
They have posters with the limits about how much you can bring in. But if you think you're going to do any drinking in Iceland, you get the alcohol there.
Yeah.
Because if you wait and when you get it after you come out of the airport, you're going to pay like twice as much for it.
You're going to be like shocked. You're like, oh, I just wanted to get, you know, a pint of beer.
Nope. You're going to break the bank.
Yeah. It's not cute.
Yeah. Like, you can expect to pay between, like, 10 and 15 bucks for a beer.
There you go. You heard it straight from Jonas. And he drinks beer. I don't drink beer. He knows.
And for cocktails, you're going to pay even more than that. Like, upwards of 20, 25 bucks for a cocktail.
For a cocktail.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, a craft cocktail either. But, so for that reason, a lot of people will drink at their homes.
Yeah.
With alcohol that they've gotten from the state-run alcohol stores, which have inconvenient opening times and locations. So, plan ahead. So I think one of the coolest places to go is Coffee Button.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there can be an older crowd there earlier in the night, but like all sorts of people come in there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's a really fun place to go out because like I said, like there's a lot of respect there for people's like, independence and like, you're not going to get bothered there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're not going to get bothered there.
Yeah.
Other places, I don't know so much, but that's the one place that we still like to go out.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to meet local people there too.
It's the local cool spot.
A fun game to play when you're in Coffee Button or really anywhere in Iceland.
Anywhere in Iceland. I think this, I don't know if it's a fun game to play, but I feel like it's a game that we play.
Yeah.
My husband doesn't get it. He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
who cares? He's like, who cares? I'm like, I find it fascinating. So what I find fascinating going into local establishments in Iceland, in Reykjavik, is who decides to speak to me in Icelandic or... And who decides to speak to me in English? Like, what is it the person is saying about me that makes them say, I'm going to talk to her in Icelandic?
Right.
Or I'm going to speak to her in English. I believe the assumption, if they go English, they assume that I'm a tourist, that I'm not from here, and I know nothing. And so they're like, straight to the English. But the thing is, I also feel like there's some people who greet every single person in Icelandic. And then they'll switch if you are like, what? Excuse me, I didn't understand.
Right.
Then they'll switch to English. Like our friend at Bonus. I feel like he speaks to everyone in Icelandic.
Oh, yeah, he does. He just greets everyone in Icelandic. Mm-hmm. And then if he needs to, he'll switch over to English.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of nice, though, too. Because it doesn't make you feel like you're being handled quite so much.
Exactly.
The guy that we're talking about is like this checkout guy at the groceries, our local grocery store. Yes,
love him.
He's great.
We call him Man Bun.
He's got a man bun. He's just like one of the friendliest guys in the whole country. He's just
really kind.
Yeah.
Like he looks you in the eye. He talks to you like you're a human being, not just another person in the checkout line.
So if you come to visit and you go to the Bonus downtown.
Yeah, there are two Bonuses downtown.
This is one that's not on the main street. This is the one that's like just off the main street.
Yeah.
Look for the guy with the man bun. You'll be in good hands.
You'll be in good hands. He's really nice young man. I like him.
But it is sort of curious to think, like, what makes people think you're a tourist and what makes people think you're either a local or an Icelander.
So what I was going to say, we were in the same Bonus, different checkout girl, and I was with my husband, clearly Icelandic, and she looked at him and she looked at me and she noticed that we were together. She looked at him, she looked at me. And I could see the wheels turning in her head, like, do I speak to them in Icelandic? Do I speak to them in English? I'm not sure what's going to happen. And we got up there, and she went Icelandic. She was like, okay, he's clearly Icelandic. I'm going to go with the Icelandic.
She peed the tea, pulled the trigger.
Yeah, and everything turned out right. Okay. She was like, I could tell. She was like, oh, okay, yeah, I got that one right.
I find that if I smile too much...
They're like American.
Before the interaction. Yeah, they totally just like read me instantly. Like, oops, okay. This guy is not a local. He's got to be too friendly.
Yeah.
But if I like force a scowl, mm-hmm. which does not come naturally to my American face.
No, you have a very happy face.
I feel like...
If you can imitate the resting Viking face.
Yes, the resting Viking face. Like, I love it, yeah.
I will burn you down to the ground face.
Which is just their face at rest.
Yeah, it's just their face. They really won't do that. Very nice people, but resting Viking face. Mm-hmm.
Then you're more likely to get Icelandic when you go someplace.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny, too, to like look watching people walk around. Mm-hmm. And there's something about it. There's something about the Icelanders where you can tell that they're locals.
Yeah. Well, they aren't looking around and they don't have cameras around their neck.
That's true. I mean, some people, when they walk down Laugavegur, which is the main street, are dressed like they're going up on a glacier already.
Spanking new boots. They just got that parka, and it's, like, shiny and bright. Okay. Never been touched by rain or snow.
And, like, a huge frame backpack.
Yes.
Like, you're going to pitch a tent at any moment.
And like, sometimes walking sticks.
And fresh water won't be available, like, at any shop along the way. Walking sticks.
I have seen walking sticks.
How funny.
Yeah, so those people, clearly tourists. Yeah. And some, you know, are a little more casual. Sometimes I can tell the tourists because they don't have on the spanking new boots, but they have on Uggs. Okay. And no self-respecting Icelander is going to be out in weather, any kind of weather, wearing Uggs.
Uggs, that's true.
Snorri, he says, this is the way he put it. He's like, you may as well be barefoot. Why? Come on.
Why are you wearing Uggs?
Why would you wear Uggs? Because it's always going to, at some point in the day, it's going to rain. Yeah. And it's going to be cold.
And your feet are going to be soaked.
And you're going to be shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So, not an Icelander if you're walking around wearing Uggs.
No. You're probably not going to be wearing super clunky hiking boots either.
Yeah,
because people are like fashion fucking forward.
They really are. They won't wear Uggs, but you'll see ladies in heels and like skirts. And I'm like, girl, I know you are cold. It's just like, but I want to look cute. You live in Iceland, sorry.
But I feel like people wear like super trendy... Like good for your feet shoes here, like Echo and Campers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like protect your feet against weather. Mm-hmm. But like they look pretty good too. Like you can walk into an art opening on that shit.
Yeah. And also like everything is expensive. Shoes are expensive in Iceland.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be spending the money.
Might as well.
Might as well spend the money and look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't go down to Walmart and gear up.
You really can't. No not, Walmart in Iceland.
Not available here.
Not available.
Not available. So let's wrap up this time. We were talking about having a mini episode, a bonus episode.
Bonus episode about...
Since we've gone on so long already.
You know, we just go on and on.
We were planning on talking about the trip around the Ring Road, mm-hmm. which is a trip that a lot of people like to take.
The Ring Road, just to be clear, is a road that goes all the way around Iceland.
You won't get confused because it's the only one that does that.
Yeah, it's number one. It's road one.
Route one. And it's a trip that a lot of people like to take because it's a great trip to take.
It's a great trip to take. And it's easy.
And if you have the time to do it, Do it.
Do it. And you can see the whole freaking country.
Oh, the whole island. And if you have time,
minus
you
can the go. West Fjords.
But it can. That's what I want to tell
it
people.
Kisses,
like,
it kisses the West Fjords.
No, you can include that into your ring.
Yeah.
You technically won't be on the ring road anymore.
See, that's what I'm saying.
But you can just go like on a little tangent.
You
there.
Can do one of the fjords. One of the West Fjords.
I think it's very difficult to do just one.
To do just one.
If you're gonna get yourself all the way out there, just go do the full circuit. But so we were thinking about doing this as a bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
Which will be shorter than this one, probably.
Yeah.
And that way, people who are interested in the Ring Road and all the sites there are to see, mm-hmm. not that we've seen them all.
We've seen a lot of them, though, I think.
True. But I feel like we can touch on some highlights, maybe.
Yeah. And we can give people something to Google.
Exactly. We can throw some things out, some truths out there that are probably not accurate.
Some
close inaccurate
to truths.
Yes.
Adjacent
some
to
statements.
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Some truth adjacent statements.
Yeah.
That people can have to will have to double check.
Something to chew on, something to think yeah. about, consider.
Right.
Yeah.
And Facebook and Lydia has made a Facebook page for us.
So we have our Facebook, the Raisin at the Hot Dogs, and Twitter, Raisin and Hot Dog. And Pinterest, the Raisin at the Hot Dogs End. And we'll set up boards where you can find the books we mention, the travel hotspots we mention, anything that pops into our minds, we'll have links.
So we can put up show notes on the Facebook page, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Show notes on Facebook if you want to have like pictures and pretty shit. Ooh, on the Pinterest.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I can do it.
Okay.
I'm up to the task.
Okay.
I can handle it.
You're an amazing AV guy.
Well, you know.
An AV gal.
It's the glasses.
But if you have questions too, if you guys are coming and you got questions, then
yeah, you can
shoot us a line.
You can email us at theraisinatthehotdogsend@gmail.com.
Yeah, or put it up on Facebook, because if you want to ask the question,
yeah,
it's probably the case that someone else wants to know.
You're right.
The
somebody
to.
Else probably wants to know. Post it on the Facebook. I'm Lydia,
and I'm Jonas, and we're the Raisin at the Hot Dogs, and signing off.
Bless y'all.